If you analyze current processes within carriers, most of the processes were designed for them and not the customer. We felt that we could change that by starting at the customer and working backwards.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, where we dedicate our discussion to insurance innovation. So first and foremost, I want to say Happy New Year and welcome back to 2019. I know that we've taken a couple of weeks off as we get through the holidays and as we got through the new year. And I do want to say there's some really exciting guests and topics that we're going to be talking about here in the podcast. So I'm hopeful that you truly enjoy what's to come. I have today, Brent from Benekiva, and there's a whole multitude of folks that we're going to be talking to over the next few weeks, few months. If there is a topic that you are interested in hearing about or knowing more, if there's a company that you want to know more about, just reach out to me and let me know. And, you know, we can either get them on the podcast. If you're doing something that's really transformative in the insurance space, I could also bring you on too as well. So, hey, if this is your first time listening, I do want to ask that you stop and hit the subscribe button on any platform that you're streaming this on, so then you can get this every Thursday when new episodes are released. So before we jump into the podcast, I want to recognize the sponsor of this episode, and that's Vortex Legal.
Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com.
So today I have the pleasure of speaking with Brent Williams. Now, Brent is the Chief Executive Officer of Benekiva. Benekiva is a technology platform designed to solve specific problems within the life and annuity industry while providing a beautiful customer experience. Brent, it's truly a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great. So, hey, Brent, just thinking about your history really spans from being a police officer over time to being a financial advisor. So, if you don't mind, spend a few minutes talking about your background and how it's positioned you to lead Benekiva today.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've had many successes and many failures in my journey. Been a police officer, worked on a drug task force, owned and operated automotive repair facilities, built a successful financial services company, and taught at the college level. And now we built Benekiva to solve issues within the industry. Throughout all of those, I have surrounded myself with good people. You look at innovators like Jobs, Bezos, Musk, and many others who are great visionaries that proved they could execute. They all accomplished great things by surrounding themselves with good people. And that's what we did at Benekiva.
Yeah, so with Benekiva, you absolutely surrounded yourself with great people. And, I actually had the opportunity to to talk to Bobby Srivastava, one of your partners in Benekiva. You are, of course, the co-founder. And when I spoke to Bobby, she did give a really great overview of what you all are doing as an organization. But I'd love to get it from your perspective as the founder and CEO. So, if you don't mind, discuss specifically what Benekiva solves and long term, what's the value proposition and the vision for your organization?
Sure. Yeah, Bobby's great. She's one of those great people that I've surrounded myself with. When we started working on this, we identified four main problems within the industry. The first problem we identified was simply outdated processes. Specifically in the claims process, that claims process in the life and annuity space is the same process that they did 258 years ago. And we felt that we could make this a better customer experience by updating that claims process. The second problem we identified was legacy and admin systems. We needed to build a platform that allowed us to connect to legacy systems, admin systems, and really any other system that is necessary to process a claim or make updates to the system. So we had to build our platform that was easily connectable to those. The third problem we identified was unclaimed life policies. And, you know, here a while back, 60 Minutes did an episode where they really made it look like the life insurance carriers were the bad guys. And the thing that really frustrated me about that is I've been in this industry for many, many years now. And one thing I know about life and annuity companies, they want to pay claims. And unfortunately, this 60 Minutes episode made it seem like or feel like they really didn't. That problem isn't about the insurance company not wanting to pay claims. That problem is about a beneficiary not knowing they need to file a claim. And that's a whole different scenario. Of course, 60 Minutes didn't put any, you know, cast any light on that subject. All they cast the light on was life insurance companies aren't paying claims. And then the fourth problem we identified was unclaimed property and escheatment laws were changing literally on a regular basis. The question we asked here was, how do life insurance and annuity carriers keep up with these ever-changing laws? So we had to build a platform that took care of that as well. So currently, the Benikiva platform has six different modules. Beni Claims, that's the end-to-end claims processing system where we digitize the entire system, including moving the funds, and we make that a beautiful customer experience. Beni Compliance is compliance with unclaimed property and escheatment laws. Beni Retention, this one's kind of near and dear to my heart. This one's where we actually loop in an advisor or a licensed agent into the claims process to allow the carrier, not the guarantee to, but the opportunity to retain assets. And then we have Beni Update and Beni Notify. Beni Notify is the notification engine that takes care of the issue of unclaimed property. It allows a beneficiary to file a claim. But that created another problem for us. We identified that we need to, it's great that we want to reach out to the beneficiary. However, we need to make sure that we're reaching out to the intended beneficiary. So that's where Beni Update comes in. And then finally, we have Beni Data. We believe we can take the data and provide useful data back to the carrier.
Yeah, you know, I think about the way that you all have built sort of the foundation of your organization and of your company. And it's really interesting because to the point that you made, you know, this segment of the industry hasn't really changed in a very long time. You know, I say, yeah, you know, it's one that's truly been unspoiled by innovation for quite some time, especially as you think about the outdated processes and also, you know, just the way that the technology stack is built from a legacy platform perspective. You know, it funny enough, you know, as I talk to beneficiaries and folks that are, you know, beneficiaries from a life insurance perspective, a lot of them, to your point, don't even know that they have to file a claim. I think their expectation is that these life insurance organizations are going to reach out to them and tell them, hey, you know, there's something or a process that you have to undertake. And as I hear sort of the different facets of what you all have pulled together, it really is of value not only to these life insurance organizations, but specifically to the beneficiaries that are the beneficiaries of these life insurance policies or of some of these annuities. You know, so as I think more intently about what you all are doing, you know, why is the value proposition for Benikiva so important for both the life insurance and annuity customers?
Well, you know, you look at, you know, the claims process specifically, you know, what we're trying to express to these carriers or these large companies is the claims process is a customer experience issue. You know, here's the issue I had as an advisor. When a triggering event occurred, and unfortunately we're talking death in this scenario, when I had the opportunity to work with the beneficiary and guide them through the claims process, a couple things were happening. One, we were sending them through this old process, and all the time that we're going through that process, I'm apologizing. As an advisor, I'm apologizing for the terrible process that we're going through. And, you know, it put me in a bad spot because typically what happened when we work with beneficiaries is as we're going through this claims process, you got to understand they're going through the grieving process. They're going through the, you know, death of a family member or someone else. And the question that always came up when we were working with beneficiaries was, what do I do with this money? So from a financial advisor perspective, now we need to create a new plan for this beneficiary. The rub came in when it came time to present this new plan to the beneficiary. I couldn't offer products and services from a carrier or a company that just sent us through a terrible claims process. You know, even though in the back of my mind, I've done this process with multiple carriers, and quite honestly, I'm not trying to be rude, but none of them have a great process. So even though I know that, you know, if I offer, you know, carrier B's products and services, at some point, they're going to go through, their beneficiary is going to go through a terrible process too. So we decided that, gosh, we've got to take a look at this as a problem and solve it, not only for the beneficiaries, right, but also for the carriers and the advisors and, you know, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. No, I think just across the entire value chain in this space, you know, the value that your product is providing, I think, could absolutely be felt, right? You know, especially on to the point mm-hmm. you were mentioning a little bit earlier, the carrier and the beneficiary side. You know, as you sort of think about what you all are doing and the history of your organization and partnering and working with these carriers, you know, how is it being perceived, and what are the carriers saying about the problem that you all have laid out to solve?
Yeah, we have maintained a beneficiary first mindset and continue that mission today. We felt that innovation had to start at the customer, not the carrier. If you analyze current processes within carriers, most of the processes were designed for them and not the customer. We felt that we could change that by starting at the customer and working backwards. As I mentioned before we started this this call, you know, in the marketplace, we felt that Benekiva would enter the marketplace. We knew we were solving problems in the industry because I've been in this industry for many years, so I've experienced the problems. And we felt that when we came to the market, the Benekiva plane would come off the ground like a conventional plane. We would go down the runway a little bit, we'd lift the nose, and then we'd take off, and then we'd climb gradually. However, what we've learned in the marketplace and the traction that we've seen so far, we're actually taking off more like a rocket ship. You know, the nose is pointed straight up in the air and we are launching. You know, so that to answer your question, I think the marketplace is welcoming what Benekiva is doing and the problems we're solving.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I could see why, you know, because you're building this capability and you're deploying this capability that was sort of a void in the marketplace. You know, as I look across all of these other insurtechs, I got to say, I haven't seen one out there that's solving a problem like yours. So, you know, just take off like a rocket at some point that's going to, you know, have all of the additional rocket fuel, and you guys are just going to continue to zoom up forward, you know, to the point that as I hear almost on a monthly basis about what you all are doing, I'm seeing a lot of you all doing presentations and then also getting into mm-hmm. insurtech competitions and winning these insurtech competitions because of the capabilities that you're building and providing. So, you know, you all are still pretty early in the history of your company, but with this significant growth, you know, have you seen the mission of your organization change, and what are you doing to better meet the needs of your customers?
Yeah, the mission hasn't changed really. Like I said earlier, we have maintained a beneficiary first mindset. We felt that was key to the success of Benekiva. We wanted to take that conventional, you know, building a business process and kind of flip it on its head and say, you know, why don't we start at the end and work our way backwards? you know, I'm Stephen Covey trained, and you know, one of the habits is, you know, start with the end in mind. And when we really analyzed that, we said, okay, what's the end? The end is a beneficiary, you know, collecting a check from a payment. And then we challenged that. We said, is that really the end? Because when a beneficiary collects a check from the payment, what do? They go to the bank and they deposit that check. And then they either find an advisor, or they start, you know, doing some planning on their own to figure out what they're going to do with that money. So we said, we really need to start at the very end and work our way backwards. So, you know, like I said, if you analyze current processes today, most of the processes were designed for the carrier, not the customer.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, starting with the customer and keeping the customer in mind, especially as, you know, just in general, customer expectations in this space has shifted and changed fairly significantly. And the impact that it's having isn't really an impact that's being driven by the insurance segment per se, right? But it's one that's being driven by other industries that may not have anything to do with the insurance space. You know, so to me, that's sort of influencing the customer expectation. But, you know, as you think about insurance across the board and what you all are doing, you know, there's also a regulatory piece that goes along with this. So, you know, what are your thoughts around that? And from a regulatory perspective, how this product of yours is really going to shift the expectations from a regulator standpoint?
Well, one of the events that we had the opportunity to present at and win was the National Association of Insurance Commissioners Insurance Summit. We were invited to come and present there, and, you know, this is the funny part of the story, is we show up to do the presentation, and we didn't know it was a competition. We didn't know that, you know, there were 9 other insurtechs from all over the world that were in this competition. We just thought it was a Benikiba pitch presentation. So at the end of that, you know, they put up the display and we can see that, you know, Benikiba was winning, and then all of a sudden it just took off and we won that event. But strategically, the reason we did that and the reason we engaged with NAIC is we know that there's a regulatory component in our platform, you know, the Beni compliance piece. And one thing that we're learning through our dealings with the NAIC is they want to help carriers too. If you look at the NAIC and what they're trying to accomplish, they're doing the exact same thing, or wanting to do the exact same thing that Benikiba is doing. They want to start at the customer and work their way back. So we felt that by engaging them early on, you know, we could potentially leverage them for some guidance, for some mentorship, and you know, eventually, you know, finish the compliance module in a fashion that they would accept it. Now, full disclosure, while we have the Beni compliance module built, we have not tested that. We have not had a carrier yet that has a use case to test that. So that is one of the things that we're looking for. We're looking for an innovative-minded carrier to help us test the Beni compliance module.
I think that definitely, if there's any carriers or folks from carriers out there that's listening, that with the module that you all have created, I think that's maybe a good opportunity. So I'd absolutely say reach out to Brent. And just to go back to, you know, what you mentioned about the regulators. No, first of all, of course, congratulations on the competitions that you all have been winning.
Thank you.
You know, from a regulatory perspective, I think you're taking the right approach, because regulators would rather have you and other insurtechs reach out to them before deploying something into their marketplace, because their number one goal is, of course, to protect the needs of the customers or from their perspective, their constituents. So, you know, if you're working with them early on, and if you're partnering to ensure that what you're developing and what you're deploying is exactly going to protect their constituents, you know, then, you know, by all means, they're more than open to help define and then even roll out the capability with you within their areas. You know, so just thinking, you know, just more broadly about the insurtech space specifically, you know, what exactly does insurtech mean to you? And, you know, do you think insurtech will continue to influence the traditional insurance industry?
Sure. To me, InsurTech is about innovation, digital transformation, and collaboration. Carriers are in the business to sell products and services. They are not in the technology business. It's the whole, you know, build versus buy question, right? Carriers can focus on something that isn't their core business, spend millions of dollars on internal resources, waste time trying to do this, trying to do that, etc. InsurTechs are nimble, fast, and can execute. For example, we can have an idea designed, built, and tested before some carriers can even make a decision, and at a fraction of the cost. So to me, carriers should really look to work with and collaborate with InsurTechs.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I think with the InsurTechs, I mean, they're solving, organizations like yourselves are solving mm-hmm. issues or challenges that are absolutely necessary. There are some that are out there that are, you know, a hammer trying to find a nail, and they have a technology mm-hmm. without a business model. But I think holistically, they're definitely solving, you know, really important elements of this space and of this industry. You know, so just thinking about the challenges that you all are facing as you're rolling out your platform, your modules, and as you're growing your organization. Now, I know you're, it's taken off like a rocket, but if you don't mind, you know, talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges that you all are facing, and specifically what you all are doing to get over those challenges.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, one of the main challenges is a carrier's conventional vendor procurement process. Quite honestly, I mean, a lot of those vendor procurement processes can take, you know, an established company, you know, 9 months to get through. An InsurTech simply cannot go through a 9-month procurement process. So the you know, one of two things is going to happen there when an InsurTech starts to engage with a carrier. If an InsurTech finds out that a carrier is going to send them through their conventional vendor procurement process, one of two things is going to happen. Either A, the InsurTech is going to die on the vine because they simply cannot afford to go through a 9-month process, okay? Or B, they're going to move on. They're going to say, well, you know, maybe you're not ready for innovation now. I'm going to go find a carrier who is. So to me, you know, the challenge is we need to get these carriers to understand that, look, you have to have a different process for InsurTechs, or they're going to go look elsewhere to partner with other innovative-minded carriers. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying you have to completely get rid of the whole due diligence process. I'm just saying we need to revise that process for InsurTechs. The opportunity side, here's where I think it's great. Carriers and InsurTechs collaborating on real problems that need to be solved could be a game changer. If you think about it, carriers have the need and the capital. InsurTechs have the desire and the drive to execute. You combine both of those and watch out.
Absolutely. You know, I think you really hit on a true issue for InsurTechs. You know, so I, as you may be aware, I'm the head of innovation for an organization. It's a pretty large organization in the Midwest. And, you know, as we started to engage with InsurTechs, one of the things that I recognize, and it's not native to this carrier, you know, I've seen this in other places, and I talk to other carriers about their process as well, and they treat an InsurTech, even if the contract may only be a $20,000 or $50,000 contract, as if they would treat a larger organization whose contract might be $75 million. You know, so there really isn't a difference in the way that they're engaging these organizations. And to the point that you made, you know, if it's an E&Y, as for an example, who's a huge multi-billion dollar organization, they have the resources, but also the need to engage them at a different level is necessarily there. While an InsurTech that's new, that has, to your point, the hunger and the drive to actually solve, maybe a smaller organization that's launching at that point in time, as they're trying to find the area to within that organization to provide value and to deploy their capabilities, they it's not absolutely necessary to treat them the same way. So, you know, I always see that as an issue, and I always, you know, put challenges out there to people to really hone in on better ways to engage folks within the InsurTech industry. You know, so, you know, as I sort of look forward to what you all see as some of the challenges of the insurance industry itself. You know, what do you see as some of the things that folks that are listening should begin to look out for over the next couple of years because it's going to be influential or have an influential impact to the insurance space?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at innovation over the next, you know, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is, I think it's one of those things that has to start at the top. You know, for example, for Benikiva, for example, if we're talking to claims folks to get them to use our claims platform, you know, if you look at that typical process, we start talking to the claims folks, they say, yeah, we love it, we want it, you know, then it goes up to the next level and they say, yeah, we need to put it in a budget somewhere, and then it goes up to the next level and up to, and by, that's what I mean by that whole really long process. So I think there's two things that have to happen for innovation to occur. You know, one, the procurement process needs to be edited, and two, the sales cycle needs to be reduced. You know, these carriers need to look at innovation, you know, 2 years ahead and say, look, we need to figure out a process that allows us to move more quickly on these InsurTech innovative ideas. And I think once carriers realize that, you know, it's not the same process that you would run a large company through, a Salesforce or someone like that, then they can truly start to innovate within the organization. Because like I said, when you take carriers who have the need and the capital and InsurTechs who have the desire and the drive, you put those together and man, you'll have some problems being solved and some really neat solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, especially to that point that you made around innovation, you know, starting at the top and ensuring that the way that innovation is displayed throughout the entire organization has the support of leadership. You know, I think that becomes very, very important, you know, as I look at your organization, you know, as you mentioned, and even in the past, as Bobby mentioned, you know, you all have been around, I think you're probably past your year anniversary. You know, when you think through how you continue to maintain a culture of innovation, not only in your organization, but with the organizations that you're working with, you know, how exactly do you maintain that culture of innovation? And then how do you make sure that that's also a culture that's sort of flowing into the organizations that you're contracting with?
For innovation on the carrier side, you know, we need to see more carriers quit talking about innovating with InsurTechs and start doing. We are seeing that transition already. The issue is, like we discussed earlier, there needs to be a separate path, right? And carriers need to understand that some of these InsurTechs may never scale to a level that they can monetize, but they can still solve internal issues. Some technologies don't need to be monetized, but they can still provide extreme value within the organization. I mean, let's face it. How many times have we heard of a company spending millions of dollars only to scrap the project and have nothing to show for it? Carriers could leverage some of that capital and at least end up with a solution that fixes their problems. The thing that I think that carriers could be more innovative internally is, you know, I want to preface this by saying not all of these people are not innovative. And I always tell the story of the Quarter Century Club. And the Quarter Century Club are these folks that have been in the carrier for 25 plus years. And what's interesting is a lot of times these are the folks that are on the innovation teams. And I have to challenge that a little bit. Don't get me wrong. I think there are some folks out there who have been in the industry that have that innovative mindset. I think you had Frank Sentner on your podcast before, and he is definitely one of those people. He's been in the industry many years, but yet he's very innovative. So I'm not saying that it can't be done. What I'm saying is if you have the Quarter Century Club in your organization, you know, tasked with innovation, that might not be the best path for that carrier. What we would say is, you know, don't get me wrong, maybe have a quarter century club person or two on the team just to offer that industry experience and things like that. But gosh, you could see some true innovation in a carrier if you went to, say, employees who have been in the carrier for less than 3 years and put them on the innovation team, right? Or take it a step further and take an employee that the carrier hired from a completely different industry and put them on the innovation team, right? Because it's kind of like the old adage, people working in their business day in and day out don't necessarily notice that the pictures on the wall are tilted, right? Because they walk in the office every single day, they see the tilted picture every single day, and it just doesn't stick out at them. But me walking into a carrier, and the tilted picture sticks out like a sore thumb to me, because I'm not there every single day. So to me, I think you could take these hires that you've hired from other industries, put them on your innovation team, and man, I think some innovation would occur.
Absolutely. You know, just to the point that you were talking about in terms of the long term, is especially people that's been in an organization for quite some time, you know, and I always see that they get so very much used to the status quo, doing things the way that they've been doing, to the point where sometimes it becomes somewhat challenging for them to see things a little bit differently. You know, so whenever there's a change that's being made, they're always the ones that's challenging the status quo, or that's challenging the change that's being made to stick with the status quo. Now I got to say, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to have people that are going to, you know, look to protect the core value proposition of the organization, right? But, you know, that may not be the best way to transform an organization, especially in an industry like insurance that's on the path of just transforming day in and day out with the insurtech phenomenon, with, you know, the rapid pace of technological advances and changes and so on. So, you know, I agree with you. You know, I think you have to get people in, you know, people that are used to engaging different types of technologies outside of the insurance space, things that have absolutely nothing to do with insurance, to then, you know, help to design and to define the way of the future for any given organization, especially when you think through innovation. So, you know, that leads me to a question that I always like to ask folks. And, if they're, for folks that are listening to the two of us speak here today, you know, if they wanted to walk into their organizations and just change or influence the status quo to do things differently, you know, what advice would you give them?
You know, that's a great question. I was having a conversation with another executive just this morning about this. And I said to this executive, I said, here's my challenge to you. You know, go into your carrier, create a fake policy, whatever it is, and actually go through the claim process. Go through the claim process, not have it be staged, not, you know, tell everybody in the organization that, hey, I'm the CEO of this organization and I'm going to go through our claims process. No. You can't do that. What you got to do is say, you know, go down to the life, if you want to test the life claims process, for example, go down there and say, I need a policy, right? And then go through the claims process yourself. You know, you might be amazed at how terrible your process is. And then put yourself in the beneficiary's shoes. You know, would you like to go through this process during a time of grief, during a time when you're trying to plan funerals and you're trying to gather family and you're trying to do this and this? Would you want to go through this process of, you know, going to a website, downloading a non-fillable PDF, you know, printing that non-fillable PDF and getting out your fancy old pen and filling it out so that you can put it in an envelope and mail it to the insurance company? I mean, just that process alone, when I say it, it's absolutely absurd in today's day and age. It's absolutely absurd. So I would say my challenge to those organizations, go in and go through your own processes like you're the customer. there's where you're going to see the chinks in the armor.
Yeah. I would agree with that, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised that the process isn't exactly what they thought it was. And that may be something that forces individuals to then make a change. To the processes within their organization. So I gotta say, this actually reminds me of an organization I used to run there. CAT strategy portion within the home office of Travelers from an underwriting strategy and from a catastrophe strategy perspective. I remember, one of the other executives basically came in and did something fairly similar and recognized that the way that things were historically done in the old platform, in the old technology, it didn't work exactly as they thought it would, and it wasn't as customer centric or the customer experience walking through the platform. And now at that time there was no direct; it was still through their independent agency channel. But the experience for the agents wasn't specifically what they thought it was, and that was something that fostered a change, because now that executive that actually had influence over what was happening experienced what the customers were going through, they changed the way that we quoted and bound policies and also the referral process around these policies that were going through this platform. So I agree with you. I think the best way to understand the plight of the customer, or even what the customer is going through, is to go through it yourself and experience exactly what the customer is experiencing. So hey Brent, just thinking about the future of Benekiva, what do you see over the next couple of months up until the next year in terms of what you all are focused on doing?
Yeah, I think, I think by the end of 2018 and the first quarter of 2019, we'll probably have two more clients signed up to start the discovery process and then the implementation process of implementing Benekiva. So that's pretty exciting for us. But if you look at the long-term vision of Benekiva, our name says it all. A lot of people ask the question, what's Benekiva? Well, Kiva means chamber for all, and Beni is short for beneficiaries. So Benekiva is a chamber for all beneficiaries. So if you think about it from that perspective, the future of Benekiva is to work with any contract that lists or has a beneficiary. So now we're talking about 401k accounts, investment accounts, bank accounts, some PNC. I mean, anything that lists a beneficiary is where we're going. We just decided to start in the life and annuity space because as an advisor, I felt the pains. I've gone through the terrible processes. I've gone through the terrible, updating beneficiary process, the terrible claims process, I've gone through those processes. So we said, in order for us to show focus and execution, let's launch in the life and annuity space. We'll get some traction there, and then we'll expand to the other pillars.
Yeah, and I see that. To your point, anywhere that there is a beneficiary opportunity, especially in the 401k realm, there's absolutely going to be, the value that you guys have provided in the life and annuity space that can be applicable to that. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited to see how that plays out over the next couple of years, as you all start to launch into these other verticals. So, hey, Brent, I do want to say thank you. I truly appreciate the conversation here today. This is, as always, was a great, getting connected with you all, you and hearing more about what you're doing with Benekiva. If there were listeners that wanted to know more or to get in contact with you, I know you're going to be at the Connected Insurance Conference coming up very shortly, but what are some other ways for them to get in contact with you?
Boy, I mean, I welcome it, even if it's just to have a conversation. You can email me at Brent, B-R-E-N-T, at benekiva.com. That's B-E-N-E-K-I-V-A.com. Or you can call or text me, 515-202-0862. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and all of the other social medias as well. So again, feel free to contact me. We're in a pretty cool time for Ben Akiva, and I just love having these conversations.
Yeah, no, it's definitely pretty fun, and I got to tell you, you're most likely going to get quite a few people reaching out to you. So, hey, Brent, you know, once again, thank you. I appreciate it, and hopefully, when we're in the same space, we can get connected there.
Sounds great. Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, so I hope you enjoyed the conversation that I had here with Brent on Ben Akiva. You know, those guys are doing phenomenal in terms of how they're transforming the space that they're working in. So, you know, I truly love bringing people like Brent onto the podcast to hear what they're doing to really help to transform and innovate the insurance industry. And that's the types of conversations that we have here. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.